Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Mets Musings. I hope you all had a great couple of weeks. It's been a tough week here in Mets Nation. The Mets have been struggling. It seems this team is taking two steps forward and three steps back. Since we've last spoke, they've split with the Yankees, dropped 2-3 to the St. Louis Cardinals, all at Citi Field. Went on the road, and as of today, or as of yesterday, I should say, dropped 2 out of 3 to the Houston Astros. And in these last couple of games, the last game with the Cardinals, today's game, or yesterday's game with the Astros, they have had a slugfest, and they're hitting, they're scoring runs, but the pitching has been terrible. Now, they had some good pitching Monday. They got a good performance by Max Scherzer, another good performance by Verlander, but they didn't score for him. And today, Tyler McGill just didn't have it again, as he was wild and kept giving the lead back. He got a no decision in the end as the game went back and forth. But this is a disturbing pattern. There's no consistency with the starting pitching, and the bullpen can't seem to hold a lead as well. So the Mets have struggled, and they're losing ground. They are going downhill fast and losing ground to the Atlanta Braves and the Miami Marlins, as well as other surprise teams in the National League Central. This is not going to be an easy task even to get to the wild card. They have a number of teams ahead of them. I just mentioned a few. Miami. Cincinnati's been playing well. Milwaukee, one of those teams are going to win a division. But you also have the Cubs above 500 or around 500. Pittsburgh, who's hit about on 11-game losing streak now, but had played well early in the year, they could come back. And let's look at the West. The West has got the Dodgers, the Diamondbacks are in first place, and the Giants. So these are all, you're talking about three teams in each division that could be competing, two or three teams from each division competing for that third wild card. And let's not leave out this weekend, the Philadelphia Phillies, who've been playing a bit better as well and are in front of the Mets. So it is not going to be an easy row to hoe, and they have to get something going and get on a roll. They need a big winning streak to get back into this race. Pete Alonso is back off of the IL, has really been quiet except for today. He hit a two-run homer in a losing effort. So we just want to mention that as we introduce today's show. Now, interestingly enough, I did not get a guest this weekend, but I was a guest on the Phillies Talk podcast, and I think we covered both teams, so I am just going to include that in this podcast, and you can see that as well as another point of view. So we'll take a look at that in just a second, but let's take a quick break and be back after this.
Baseball and BBQ, your place for interesting baseball talk, opinions, and history.
Baseball and BBQ, your place for barbecue recipes, tips, and interviews from the world of barbecue. If you like baseball and if you like barbecue, then tune in to Baseball and BBQ. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and BaseballTalkRadio.com.
Did you know that Baseball PhD can be heard on BaseballTalkRadio.com?
Our shows rotate with other top baseball podcasts.
Now don't forget, that's BaseballTalkRadio.com.
With us, we'll help you get a PhD in life through baseball.
With BaseballTalkRadio.com, you'll hear the rest of the excellent universe of baseball podcasts.
Hello, baseball fans. You're listening to Baseball Talk Radio, the home of great baseball talk shows. At BaseballTalkRadio.com, you're going to find great shows like this one with the great Gary Mack and the Mets Musings podcast. And now back to the show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of Phillies Talk. It's a special Phillies Talk edition welcoming in the New York Mets to Philadelphia and a very special guest tonight. And today on the program, Mr. Gary Mack, who's a blogger and has a podcast on the Mets, Mets Musings. You may recognize him, a good friend of mine from the Baseball Talk Radio Show. How are you, Gary?
I'm good, Rich, and great to see you as always. And big series coming up, and I don't even know what to tell you.
Yeah, it's a huge series coming up, NL East matchup. I'm starting to treasure these matchups between especially teams like the Mets, the Braves, who the Phillies are just wrapped up with. And that's baseball to me, you know. Teams in your own division, especially a storied matchup like the Mets and the Phillies. We have such a great history. And preparing for this podcast, I did some research. So I'm going to be sprinkling in some of those research aspects tonight, and as well as tuning into our listeners here on Phillies Talk. And you're going to simulcast this on the Mets Musings, apparently. So we'll be sharing back and forth a little bit about both teams in the modern era. But you know what? I had a chance to go to a Mets database, and it's called Ultimate Mets Database. I'm sure you're probably familiar with it.
Yes, yes, yes. Excellent site.
Because I wanted to go back to the very beginnings of Mets versus Phillies. Of course, the Phillies go back to the 1883 season, but the Mets started fairly recently, 1962. And the first game between the Mets and the Phillies was April 27th, 1962. And the Phillies ended up winning that one 11-9. So a little trivia question for you guys out there. If you're a Mets fan listening, or you're, of course, a Phillies fan listening to Phillies Talk podcast, that was the first score between the Mets and the Phillies way back in April 27th, 1962. And, Gary, I think you remember that season.
I remember that season. I don't remember that specific game, but I do remember the 62 season. And it was not a great season, but it's really where the inspiration of the Mets, the lovable losers, the amazing, all of that came about. So it was the birth of a new team, of course, in the National League in New York. And a lot of the things we talk about today were born in that. And of course, there was a famous book written about it, Can Anybody Here Play This Game? And it was just a bunch of characters playing for the Mets. And of course, Casey Stengel was the manager, and he was reported to have fell asleep during games in the dugout. And it was just they found new ways to lose baseball games every day. And but, you know, the funny thing about it was they were lovable losers. We fell in love with them, even though they were so bad. They hold the record for losses in a season with 120. And they were awful. But, you know, when they won, it was such a joy when they won a game that it was really quite interesting. And as time went on a few years, you know, then people got a little tired of the losing and wanted to win. And of course, it culminated in 1969 with that win in the World Series. But I have to tell you that the game I remember the most that I remember watching was against the Phillies on Father's Day in 1964 at Shea Stadium. First year they moved into Shea Stadium, Father's Day. Jim Bunning pitched a perfect game on Father's Day in the first game of a doubleheader. A lot of people don't remember that, but it was the first game of a doubleheader. John Stevenson of the Mets made the final out on a strikeout, and I do remember that, and I have to confess that once you knew they were going to lose in the ninth inning when it was two outs, you were rooting for him to get that last out. It's the first time I had ever seen a no-hitter pitched because before that, the television wasn't that big. I mean, we'd hear it on the radio, and usually the next day, because I was a kid, I was in school, but you hear about Sandy Koufax pitching a no-hitter on the West Coast, you know. And, and in those days, we didn't stay up. There were people that did stay up. But, I mean, like I said, I was 10 years old. My parents were going to let me stay up until 2 in the morning, 1 in the morning, or even midnight on a school night, especially to listen to a ball game from California. And they all weren't telecast at that point. So the Phillies Father's Day game was quite a feat.
Yeah, that goes way back. And as you said, no hitters, perfect games. They're very rare in baseball. Little Mets-Phillies history as they're about to kick off their second meeting of the 2023 season. And incidentally, way back in 1962, the two teams played 19 times. This year in 2023, they'll only face one another 13 times with the reduced amount of NL East action due to the fact that every team must play one another team in baseball this year. So we get shortchanged a little bit on that nice rivalry, but starting tonight, Friday night, June 23rd, a great matchup. Phillies Mets for the weekend are in Philadelphia. All-time record, Mets versus Phillies. Phillies hold a little edge still, 541 and 516 since it all began back in 1962. All-time at Philadelphia's Citizens Bank Park. The Phillies are at a deficit right now. They have 81 wins and 94 losses. And the last time these two teams met, the Phillies and the Mets, was at Citi Field earlier in the year in May, and now the all-time record for the Phils at Citi Field is only 55 and 72. So especially the last couple years, the last 2 years, the Mets have almost owned the Phillies, and that's an amazing feat that they're currently on.
Yeah, and it's been true, but this year's been such a how can we say it? A wacky season in a way with both teams. Both teams have struggled with pitching, starting pitching, and we thought that that was going to be the strong point more or less. The Phillies with Aaron Nola and Zach Wheeler, and then they added Taijuan Walker, and then of course the Mets had Scherzer, and they added Verlander, and they had hoped that McGill and Peterson would come back, and they had Carrasco another year, and they signed Jose Quintana, and then it all kind of just fell apart, especially for the Mets. Quintana had a rib injury that, and then they discovered a tumor, I believe it was, on his rib, and now he had surgery. He won't be back for a couple of more weeks. Scherzer and Verlander have not pitched well at all. Verlander has had spurts, as has Scherzer, but when they pitch well, they're not getting the run support. And when they get the run support, today was a good example. They lost the game 10-8. They scored 8 runs, but the bullpen couldn't hold the lead. Nor could the starting pitcher, who was out by the third inning. So it was one of those wacky games today. But the Mets seem to be going, you know, one step forward. They win a game, then they lose two or three or four. And then they win a game and they're just not putting enough together. No streaks yet. I think the longest winning streak they had was five games. And, you know, you look around baseball, Cincinnati's in first place. They put together a 10-game streak. We all remember last year Atlanta had the big 14 games streak to get back into the race. I don't see that happening with the Mets the way they're playing this year so far.
Yeah, then you mentioned the Braves. They just beat the Phillies. The Braves and the Mets, game one of their series, they both came in with a 6-game winning streak. The Braves won that one, so they have now two winning streaks of 7 games or more here in 2023 to the Braves. So it looks like it's heading back to the Braves type of year for the NL East. But, you know, the Phillies and the Mets are still in it, despite having a very similar story of 2023. Everything you said about the Mets, you could say about the Phillies. When mm-hmm. the pitching happens, the hitting doesn't. Then when the, you know, vice versa happens, and, you know, the bullpen will come in and be less than stellar usually, as it was with, you know, game one of the Braves series. But, you know, as a matter of fact, the Mets have won 12 out of the last 15 meetings between the Phillies and the Mets. So that's a considerable amount. That's a domination of, a team, I believe, as we head into the second series. Why don't you talk a little bit about Pete Alonso? Is he back for the Mets? I think he's been doing pretty well for them. Well, talk a little bit about him.
Pete Alonso's had a pretty good year, but he, the month of June, he's been awful so far. He got hurt a few games ago and sat out. I think he missed 8 games, has been back for like 3 now and has done absolutely nothing. I think he came back too soon. I don't think he's ready to go. I think he should have went on a rehab assignment just to get your swing back, if nothing else, just to see some live pitching and game action. But of course, he didn't want to go, so they weren't going to force him. But he's been struggling a lot. Francisco Lindor, if I could go and talk about some of the other guys.
Yeah.
Has been awful, but he has his spurts. He's driven in runs. He's hit three run homers. I think he's got 12 homers or 13 homers. It's really a strange season, but then he'll strike out 3 times a game. Now, a guy like Lindor is really should be a contact hitter. And yet he's, I think he's relying on the home run too much. I think the Mets rely on a home too much home run. I think they're all trying to hit home runs now. When they score a lot of runs and they were winning, it was because they were moving guys along the line, the mm-hmm. single here, a single there. You know, they had a game the other day. I can't remember who the heck it was against now. And I think they lost like 4-2 or something. And the other team scored 3 runs and barely hit a ball out of the infield.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a bloop. There was a bloop single. It was a couple of infield hits then. A fielder's choice. And bam, all of a sudden the game was tied. And, you know, the Mets are back to that old strikeout. Thing, and it's just so frustrating to see, because we know that when they make contact, they have a better chance of winning the game. And then of course you get that stupid stat I think is the stupidest stat in baseball, and that's the hardest hit ball. And they had one today, and it was all outs.
Mm-hmm.
What good is that? I know what the experts say. Well, if you hit the ball hard, you have a better chance of getting a hit. Didn't prove it today, but I digress. That's the way the Mets season's going. They're not getting much from the DH at all. Although Daniel Vogelbach took a week off, they gave him a week off, and he's been hitting a little bit since he come back. I think they said he was 6-for-15 or something since coming back. So he's shown some life, but, again, they've got rookies at two of the key positions. Francisco Alvarez at catching, who has started to come around and showed why he was the number one prospect of the Mets, and he's been hitting. Brett Batty, who's been up and down, but he manages to get one or two hits a game, and he always seems to get one driving a run. So I'm not worried about those two kids. I think they're showing what they can do long term. It's their first full year, and they're going to struggle, especially Alvarez struggled mightily earlier in the season. But now with increased playing time, he's showing that he can hit better, and he has been. I think he raised his average from like 120 to 250 or something now. So he's really come around. And they put platoon. They have Omar Narvaez is the catcher from the left-hand side of the plate who's caught today. He was totally useless, I think, but that's just my opinion. The outfield, Brandon Nimmo is struggling a little bit at the plate. Marte is starting to hit, and Tommy Pham has been playing a lot of left field, and he's come through big in the clutches, but then they bring in the bullpen, and the bullpen blows the game. So, you know how it is with bullpens. Bullpens are a tough thing to figure out. And one night they look like Cy Young winners are out there, and the next day they look like
AAA, double A,
the Bad News Bears or something. So,
yeah. Well, what the Mets came into this season with was a formidable starting rotation. When I started to every day, it seemed like they were adding a new ace to the staff. Max Scherzer, of course, have been on the Mets for a couple years now. Justin Verlander, they grab free agency. Two old guys, quote unquote. But they didn't stop there. Adding Kode Senga, Carlos Carrasco, he used to be a Philly before he went off to the Indians for many years, and a decent Tyler McGill. Talk a little bit about that starting rotation, and if we haven't seen the best of them yet, do you think that this starting rotation is going to improve?
It's hard to say because of their age. Scherzer has shown that, he's shown some glimpse of what he could be, but then he seems to tire after the fifth inning, and though he did pitch 7 or 8 innings the other night in a win, and gives up way too many home runs this year. That's another thing. That's where their problem is, and a lot of their problems are occurring in the first inning. Scherzer, I don't know about. You don't know whether he's going to come back. Verlander has not pitched as he did last year. Now, he did miss part of spring training in the beginning of the season. He was out with an injury, and I think he's having a hard time finding his rhythm. And I also think the pitch clock is throwing all of these pitches off. As far as the Mets going, the starting rotation, I just think they cannot adjust. They're not adjusting well to it. You mentioned Tyler McGill. He had a great game his last start Today he got knocked out in the third inning. He had four walks in the second inning or something, gave up four runs, and got a no decision today. But he has struggled all year. He made some mechanical adjustments in his previous start. He had a terrific start. Didn't seem to carry over to today. As you said, they have Carlos Carrasco. He's up and down. And again, the home run ball has been terrible. He'll pitch a terrific game, and the next game he'll give up eight runs in the first two innings. So there's no consistency. Jose Quintana, I mentioned, had surgery. He is on a rehab assignment now. He could help boost this rotation if he could settle it down a little bit. Kodai Senga's been very good, but it's his first year, so he's getting adjusted. So he's been sort of iffy. He's had some really terrific games when they needed it. You know, he stopped a couple of losing streaks. But then he got hammered a couple of outings. So I think he'll be okay. He's just adjusting. I hate to say it in the first couple of weeks of mid-June, but I think you're going to see better of him next year when he's more settled into the American way. He'll be more used to the American baseball, that all of the things, the pitch clock again. I think I'm not trying to make excuses for the pitching staff, but I think the pitch clock has really made a big difference. Adam Ottavino in the bullpen, who people wanted, a lot of people want, he's been awful, just awful. If he comes in, you know, he's going to give up a home run. And I think one of the reasons, again, is the pitch clock, because he's a very deliberate guy, and his pitch clock is pitching, making him pitch faster.
Yeah. And the Phillies have somebody the same way. Matt Strom, if you want to pronounce it that way. Every time he comes in, he's almost guaranteed to give up a homer. But, you know, they're still adjusting to this pitch clock. And it's been a hard adjustment for a lot of players, not it's just been difficult. The pitchers.
Yeah. And how has what is the problem with Aaron Nola and Zach Wheeler that they're struggling so much this year?
They both got their sixth win of the season. In fact, everybody's tied it at six wins, I believe, for the lead on the Phillies. But they've been a victim of the long ball themselves. Aaron Nola, especially, he'll pitch a couple good innings, then he gives up a three-run bomb in the third time around the rotation. So then, you know, or he's tied. The Phillies can't seem to score very much when he's on the mound. So that's been the issue for him. Zach Wheeler's been a little more someone that you could count on, so to speak. And recently they've both picked it up. So hopefully we'll see more of that. Wheeler had his last game that he pitched in Oakland with a victory, a narrow victory, mind you, 3-2. Over the hapless Oakland A's, but a win's a win. And we're going to see some great matchups with this weekend series with the Mets. Cody Senga going in the first game against Christopher Sanchez, which, you know, he's been pressed into service by the Phillies as a starter, typically a relief pitcher, but they've had to make him a starter, which he's been pretty decent at so far, but he's really not a starter. He's had two games started this year, 8.1 innings pitched so far, 10 strikeouts. So they're getting something out of him. Matt Strom, they used last year as a starter, along with another bullpen reliever, Bailey Falter, who really had a good run for the Phillies as a starter towards the latter end of the 22 season, but now he's not part of the picture of the starting rotation. But Saturday's matchups going to be equally as nice between the Mets and the Phillies. And then Sunday is probably going to be your marquee matchup, Max Scherzer going against Ranger Suarez. So I'm looking forward towards this series, Gary, and I'm hoping for an improvement from the Phillies, of course.
And I'm just the opposite. I'm hoping for the Mets to right the ship here and get going, because otherwise it's going to be a long season. But it is really a shame. You mentioned earlier that they're only playing 13 times, down from the 19 that they did in the previous years. And I just don't like that. I think you should play in your division. I don't care how dull or boring people say, oh, you see the same teams, but I don't care to play, the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Texas Rangers. I don't really care. I like it the way it used to be years ago, where you saw those teams in spring training, the All-Star game, and not even a whole and the World Series if you got there. And you stay in your own league, and it was a much better brand of baseball. And I wish they'd get off this power home run hitting contest that they have to have 162 games. I have to add that I did criticize Alonso earlier. He did hit a 2-run homer today, but again, in a loss. So, but if you go on the Mets site, that's the big, Alonso hits 2, doesn't matter. He hit a 2-run homer. They lost the game. And to me, wins and losses are the bottom line. But anyway, I'm digressing here. But let me ask you a question, if we still have some time left.
Yes.
And that is, what do you foresee for the Phillies in the trade deadline? Will they be buyers or will they be sellers?
Well, if we were to have the trade deadline fairly soon, I think we'd be buyers. John Middleton, the main owner of the Phillies, a part of the group that owns the Phillies, wants a championship. He got a taste of it last year. I think he would be in to be a buyer. Phillies, in my opinion, need a little stability in the starting rotation. A lot of talk was, would they go for somebody as a starter? I think that's what they need at this point, definitely. But we'll see what happens down the road. But I would have to say that the Phillies are now, they're about 9 games out of first. They're 3 games over 500 as of the time that we're taping this podcast for the Mets-Philly series. So I would have to say they'd be buyers at this point. Not sure about the Mets. They're 13 and a half games back. As you mentioned, they lost their last game, but they'll have a day off before they start the Phillies series for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. How about the Mets? Would they be buyers at this point, do you think?
I think they would be buyers unless the bottom falls out, but I still think I really believe that you can be both. I believe that you can try to better your team by getting rid of some people and trying to bring in talent as well. But I think they will try to be in buyers, but there is so much that they need right now. They need to get more offense in the lineup. They need to get some relief pitching. They have burnt out essentially the bullpen already. And that's part of the reason the bullpen has struggled as well. Starters were going 3-4 innings. You can't do that and keep bringing in bullpen guys. And it's been a revolving door between Syracuse, which is the AAA, and New York, with the guys coming in and out. And then they send them down, and then they DFA them. And so I wouldn't want to be a bookkeeper for the team, but I think they need a starting another starting pitcher, perhaps. And I think they will try to move somebody. I would like to see a move, try to move some of the contracts, maybe move a Scherzer, maybe move a Carrasco, who's in the last year of a contract. Maybe even a Lindor, if they could, you know, they'd have to pick up half the salary on that.
Yeah.
But I would, if it was up to me, there would be hardly anybody that would be untouchable. There's like three or four guys I could think of and go from there. But that's me.
Yeah, going to be a great matchup. I mentioned Friday starters, Cody Senga and Christopher Sanchez. It's going to be an Apple TV Plus game, so it's going to be hard for both teams' fans to tune in on the television unless you're pretty savvy on that stuff. Saturday's matchup going to be equally as good, a 4:05 p.m. start. It's going to be Fox Sports 1, Carlos Carrasco against Zach Wheeler. Sounds like a nice matchup on paper. And then Sunday, I think, is your marquee matchup. 1:35 p.m. is scheduled. Max Scherzer against Ranger Suarez. And Suarez has been dealing for the Phillies. He stayed toe-to-toe with Spencer Strider in Game 1 of the Braves series. Gave up just a couple of hits. Gave up less hits than Spencer Strider and still ended up not winning that game. Phillies dropped it, but very proud of him. It seems like he's on a different level already after coming back from injury. But I'm looking forward to this matchup. I just want to keep Mark Canna away from the Phillies because he sort of demolished them in the last series.
Well, with Suarez pitching and is Sanchez, I don't know much about him. Is he a righty or a lefty?
I believe he is, let me check, a righty, relief pitcher, bats left, throws left. So that's how much I follow him. Okay. But yeah,
then you're going to see Canha. Canha's been DHing a little bit from the right side of the plate. So you're going to see Canha against Suarez and against Sanchez. So let's hope he continues his demolishing.
Very good. We'll have to see what happens during the series. Looking forward to it. Just getting back to a little history before we wrap up the show. Phillies that have worn Mets uniforms over the years and Mets players that have worn Phillies uniforms over the years. And I just went from memory and I wrote down a few on paper, and then I found this ultimatemets.com database and it made it so much easier because it lists everybody. Yeah. But Tug McGraw, of course, Met.
Zach Wheeler, Lenny Dykstra,
John Stearns made the
John Stearns,
Del Unser had
Del Unser, Juan Samuel.
Juan Samuel. Nino Espinoza. How about that name from the 70s?
Yes. Taiwan Walker off the top of my head.
On and on and on. Tommy Hunter.
Tommy Hunter?
Was a Phillies reliever. And Robertson. You guys picked up Robertson.
Dave Robertson,
played for the Phillies last year.
Yeah.
And on and on.
Richie Ashburn.
Believe it or not, Ty Wigington. Didn't know he actually played for the Phillies a short time, but
I think it was a short time.
But yeah, a lot of shared Noah Syndergaard, of course.
Yeah.
For the Mets. He was on the Mets for a number of years. And I thought the Phillies were gonna sign him for 2023, but he ended up out west with the Dodgers, and now I think he's injured, but I thought he was pretty good for them.
But not surprised.
Cool the way both teams have intertwined over the years and had other players playing for each team over the years. A very good matchup. I remember the 70s, just another quick story before we wrap up here. My father was a big Mets-Phillies fan. So every game we went to in the 70s usually involved the Mets. And I remember Tom Seaver, Cleon Jones, names like that, like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
It was a great matchup even back then. So
it was yesterday, wasn't it? I don't know.
Yeah, it's a few yesterdays ago.
Yeah.
But less than a minute to go here on the show. Gary, thank you very much for joining us. Where can we find you on the net?
You can find me at MetsMusings.com or at Facebook is a group, Mets Musings. Twitter, it's at Mets Musings Mac.
Thank you very much. Well, thank you for joining me. Enjoy the series, Mets versus Phillies, Series 2 for 2023. Enjoy, everyone. Have a great time.
And we're back, and I hope you enjoyed that little breakdown of the Phillies and the Mets between Rich Baxter and I. Certainly had a good time doing it. So no down on the farm this week, but we'll get back to that next week. So please, if you're watching this or listening to it, hit that subscribe button. If you're on YouTube watching this, hit the subscribe and like button, and you can hear the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, we are there. So please take a listen and take the time to hit the subscribe button there so you know when a new episode of Mets Musings will be out. And until next time, remember to keep the faith, stay optimistic, and let's go Mets. And I'll see you next time on another edition of Mets Musings.